Hi, Mike. I like your background. Very nice. You're muted. I can't hear you, but it looks very good.
There. I thought I have the power to unmute me, don't you? Anyway.
I do, but, you know, we're all grown up here.
See your smiling face.
In my day job, I do these kinds of programs with kids, and we do mute, and mostly, I mean, we do unmute them, but mostly we mute them. So it's a whole different ballgame doing programs with kids. They like to talk a lot. It's fun. It makes it a lot of fun. I'm not complaining. Hope you're doing well, everyone. We are live streaming on YouTube and as well as on Zoom here. What's that, Mike?
Yeah, I have that with when I Zoom with people who are my particular demographic, a lot of them are unconsciously leave their voice on when somebody is trying to do
right.
Something. One voice should be.
That makes it fun. Hey, Karen.
Hey, how are you?
That's your job. Hi, Karen. Good to see you.
Hi.
All right. Robbie, do you mind if I go over a couple of things with the website real quick? There's been a lot of questions. I shouldn't say a lot of questions, but there's been some questions about where to find things. So I am going to pull that up and share my screen with you. So welcome, everybody. Let me go straight to the Kadampa Center website, and of course, that's not there now, and I thought it was going to be. Why does that always happen? I don't know. It works fine when nobody's looking at me, and as soon as I try to do it and everyone's on, I can't find it. All right, hang on 1 second. I'm going to figure this out. Okay. I think I got it now. There it is. Okay. Getting there. All right. In a few more months, I'll be a Zoom expert. For now, I'm still learning. Okay. So, everyone, can y'all see my share screen right now?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So to get to Kadampa Center information about discovering Buddhism, just go to kadampa-center.org, and right here under spiritual program, you click that little down arrow and see there's a drop-down menu, and you can go down to beginner programs, and you can scooch right over and across if you want to, and then click on discovering Buddhism material. If that doesn't work for you, you can just click right on the beginner programs, and that will take you to another screen. And from there, you can see over here on the left-hand side, there's beginner programs, discovering Buddhism, and then directly under that, discovering Buddhism material. And if you click on that, that brings you to this screen. And all of the modules with the Discovering Buddhism materials from the FPMT are listed here. So right now we're down here at Transforming Problems. So you can click on that, and that will take you again to the FPMT, Foundation for the Preservation of the Mahayana Tradition website, and it brings you to the Discovering Buddhism at Home readings. And that's where they're all listed on that About This module. So this is the one Robbie's been assigning for homework here. But if you go back, here we go, to the Discovering Buddhism material, if you continue to scroll down all the way to this 2019-2021 documents and links, and this is for Discovering Buddhism, you see Transforming Problems here. And so here I've posted the About This module, and on the back of that is now the completion card, and then down the next one, we have the homework, and I just keep adding to that every week. And then we also have the two documents that Robbie's been using, the 8 Verses of Thought Transformation, and I've included the one by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, which is also in that Discovering Buddhism reading material. And I've also had the request to post the prayers, the opening prayers that Robbie's been using, and those are right here as well. And so all that information is, if you just scroll down a bit, you can find it there. So again, to find this, it's Spiritual Program, Beginner Programs, and then Discovering Buddhism Materials. So I will stop screen sharing that for now. Does anyone have any questions about that? I see. Shaking head. Okay, good, good. But don't hesitate to let me know if you do have questions. You can either contact me directly by the email, or you can put it in the chat box. All right. So without further ado, Robbie, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Linda. And welcome, everyone. This is our third session in the 6-week module on transforming problems. We're keeping the sessions to about an hour so people don't get too zoomed out this late in the evening. As I was telling Linda, my internet went off about 45 minutes ago, along with the electricity, but they both come back on. So if I suddenly disappear, don't take it personally, but it's beyond my control. I think everything is working now. So we will begin with the prayers and we'll follow with some meditation, okay? You can bring up the prayers, Linda. Okay, thank you. And let's see. Can you scroll down a little bit to, yeah, so Refuge and Bodhicitta, Four Immeasurable. Perfect. And I'll read these if everyone else can mute because it gets a little, the feedback can be a little bit unpleasant. But please do say them along with me. These are to prepare our mind for the meditation and discussion that are to follow. So we'll read Refuge and Bodhicitta together 3 times in English. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. And mandala offering with the hand mudra, if you know it. This ground, anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, 4 continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Niryatayami. Okay. And we'll begin with some meditation. I imagine most of us are sitting in chairs. Chair or cushion, that's fine. Important thing about the posture is the back is a little bit straighter than we usually sit, not leaning back in the chair, or if on the cushion, not leaning backwards. Our head is straight on our heads, not tilted to one, on our shoulders, not tilted to one side or the other, maybe just a couple degrees in front of the vertical. our eyes are either very slightly open or lightly closed. Our mouth is lightly closed. Our tongue is up against the upper palate. Shoulders are down and a little bit back, so our chest is slightly open. Upper arms away from our torso. Right hand on left, with thumbs touching. That represents the union of compassion and wisdom. That is enlightenment. Slightly below the level of our navel. If we're in a chair, we're sitting towards the front of the chair, not leaning back. If we're on a cushion, we're towards the front of the cushion. Our legs are in a comfortable position. If we're sitting in a chair, our feet are flat on the floor. So take a minute, scan your body, starting at the top of your head, working down. Identify any sources of tension or discomfort and address those now so they don't come up over and over again during the meditation. And we help settle our mind by taking three deep breaths from the abdomen so that the stomach expands on the in-breath, pulling our diaphragm down, and the air completely fills our lungs. And then the abdomen contracts towards the spine on the out-breath. So do that just three times, three deep breaths like that. And now we allow our breathing to return to its normal pattern. And we begin, as always, by getting really clear on our motivation. The prayers that helped with that, and we think to ourselves that I am doing this meditation and participating in this discussion tonight. Out of all the other things I could have done, I've chosen to do this so that I can develop my mind in a way that will be of benefit to all sentient beings. So that's not the way we think most of the time. It may seem a little bit difficult or awkward, but that's okay. We're training the mind. We're developing those positive qualities because the mind is infinitely flexible. And if we make a habit of thinking in this way, that becomes the nature of our mind. And having set our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation, simply placing the mind, the awareness, the consciousness on the physical sensation of the breath moving in and out to the openings of our nostrils. Just that physical sensation of air moving in and out. We place the mind directly on that. And whenever it wanders off, as it inevitably will, we gently bring our mind back to the object. Over and over and over again. So we'll just sit with that practice for about 7 minutes. Thank you. And we can bring our meditation to an end with a brief dedication. We acknowledge that we've done something positive. And we think, may that make an imprint on my mind stream. May it not be lost, but may it ripen in the future in a way that is a benefit to all sentient beings. And you can relax your concentration. Let's see, did we have any questions from last week? We got some hellos. I don't see any questions in the chat at this point.
I don't see any either, Robbie.
Okay, well, I'll leave a little time at the end for questions then.
And
okay.
We do have a few people joining us on the YouTube.
Okay.
Yes, so I'm monitoring that as well. So yes, okay. Everyone, feel free to
thank you.
Either in the YouTube chat or in the Zoom chat.
Okay. And as I said, this is our third of six classes. We're using as our text for this the eight verses of Thought Transformation, which was written by Longri Tampa, or Tangpa, there are various ways that's transliterated, in the 11th century A.D., He was a great Tibetan master, and he was bringing together the teachings of Shantideva, who lived, I think, about 500 AD, who wrote the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Life, and the teachings of Atisha, who lived 800 to 900. So he's kind of synthesizing their thoughts, and he came up with this text, the eight verses of Thought Transformation, very short, very pithy, very easy to read the whole thing through in just a couple seconds. But each of the eight verses gives us quite a bit to think about. What we're talking about is thought transformation, which is really Buddhism. And as I said before, for those of us right here and right now, it's how to deal with being in this state of samsara. We know we're not enlightened. We have not completely achieved the state of a Buddha, a state of complete compassion and complete wisdom. A Buddha has no need to transform our thoughts, but for most of us, we find our thoughts disturbing, upsetting, non-productive, frustrating. So this is not pushing those aside or ignoring them or pretending they're not there. It's not superficial at all, though it can seem that way. But so the first thing we do is we become aware of what thoughts are there, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, and we begin to see how they agitate our mind or disturb our mind. That's how we characterize negative emotions, anger, jealousy, attachment, hatred. We can recognize them because when our mind is experiencing those, it's up and down. It's not calm. It's not relaxed. It's agitated. It's uptight. And that's something we become aware of very quickly as we start to sit and look at our minds. And the Buddha is saying, okay, those are your thoughts. We're not going to pretend they're not there. We're not going to deny them. We're not going to suppress them, but we are going to approach them with the idea that they are not permanent, that they are not the essential nature of your mind, that your mind is infinitely flexible and plastic, and thoughts are just temporary occurrences in what we can think of as the vast spaciousness of our mind. So even though these thoughts may seem to come up over and over, those are just mental habits we've developed. And if we practice the teachings on thought transformation, we can abandon those thoughts and replace them with thoughts where our mind is calm, relaxed, aware, perceiving. Thoughts that work better for us, and we can develop those habits. So that's really what thought transformation is about. It's about setting aside those habits that don't work and developing new habits that do work. And these are all, this category of teachings, as I said before, is referred to as Lojong, L-O-J-O-N-G. And there are many, many texts on this, all going back ultimately to the teachings of the Buddha, but they're not necessarily the most accessible there. So great sages like Longri Tampa have synthesized them and put them in a very accessible form that we can really start to work with now. And these are teachings that we can work with on our cushion and on our daily life right now. And they help us on our path to enlightenment. They're not the complete path to enlightenment, but they're helping us now. This is kind of Buddhist psychology or Buddhist cognitive therapy. So up to this point, we've done the first two verses, talked about them and meditated on them. I'm going to try and do two verses tonight also, so we'll be halfway through, and then we'll have four verses to do in the remaining three classes. I'd like to spend more of the last class on meditation if it works out that way. So reading from the translation that His Holiness the Dalai Lama uses, which is in the first reading that Linda showed us. First verse is, determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. Let me read that again. Determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. And this ultimately comes down to the idea that we become enlightened dependent upon others. Okay, not because of others, and we talked about this last week, but we are dependent on others to develop those, for us to develop those qualities. So that's the first one, and we talked about that. Second one is, this is, wherever I go and whomever I accompany, I shall practice, yeah, thank you. I shall practice seeing myself as the lowest of all and sincerely hold others dear and supreme. Okay, and this is not about developing low self-esteem, but it's developing a mind that is humble and willing to serve. Okay, and this is not necessarily the way we think most of the time. This may be a little bit more difficult. You'll find some of these you kind of latch on and are ready to go with. Some you may find a little bit more challenging, but you have to think about what it really means. And you can set that verse aside and come back to it another time. You don't have to take the whole thing in at one time. Okay. And now we're up to the third verse. In all actions, I shall examine my mind. And the moment an unsubdued mind arises, endangering myself and others, I shall face and avert it. Okay? In all actions, and that refers to actions of body, speech, and mind, whatever we're doing, whatever saying, whatever we're thinking, I shall examine my mind. I shall look at my mind. I shall be aware of what's going on in my mind. And the moment an unsubdued thought arises, and that means a thought that's agitating, that upsets my mind, the moment it arises, endangering myself and others. Okay, endangering others, because if I act on these thoughts of anger, resentment, hatred, I can say and do things that would harm others. And also endangers myself because it leads me to create negative karma, to perform actions of body and speech and mind that will cause me to suffer in the future. So we recognize these thoughts, as dangerous both to myself and to others. I shall face, okay, not ignore it, not suppress it. I shall face it and avert it. Okay, so I think the big question there is, what does avert mean? And I don't know if I can answer that question, but that's a good question, okay? So this means that we, reading this verse, the first thing is, you know, we have to start paying attention to our mind. We can't go through life in this kind of haze of busyness and got to do this, got to run here. We need to learn to look at our mind at all times. We need to be aware of what's going on in our mind. And this is where that very simple concentration meditation we do when we watch the breath is an important tool. Okay, most of the times our mind is out running around from one place to another, so we don't even know what we're actually thinking. Thoughts of anger, attachment, greed, resentment arise, and we're so used to them, we don't even notice them. And then many people have the experience when they start to meditate that they become, as they start to become aware of those thoughts, it's quite unpleasant or quite shocking. You know, sometimes it's almost better not to be aware of them. But as we start to develop some ability to concentrate, we see these thoughts. They're both, some are very clear and conscious, some are much more subtle. Okay, so the sooner we become aware of them, the sooner we can do something about them. And there are these stories about these great Tibetan practitioners like Milarepa and others. I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Milarepa, who whenever he noticed a negative thought in his mind, a disturbing thought, he would, if he was riding on his donkey somewhere in Tibet, he'd jump off it and he'd do 50 prostrations or something immediately to purify that negative thought. Okay, so that's one way, I think, if we're a great practitioner, we can purify it. And this is that's a whole nother class, but it involves doing practices to remove those negative imprints. Yeah, another way we can avert them is by practicing the antidotes. Okay? If we have an angry thought, we can think kind thoughts to those persons. Okay? If we have a thought of greed, we can think generosity. Okay? This is more, you know, this takes a little while. This takes a little bit of practice, okay? But we can practice what are referred to as the antidotes. But the first thing is to become aware of what's there, okay? Again, I can't emphasize too much that we're not ignoring or suppressing what comes up, but we are approaching it with the idea that it is just a temporary phenomena. It's not permanent. It's not who I am. It's not what my mind is. It's just a thought, an impermanent thought, arising in the empty space of my mind. So lots of times just looking at it starts to remove some of its power. Okay? So this is really where we're talking about what we refer to as mindfulness, which is sometimes also another word for mindfulness is recollection, which is that quality when our mind has wandered off. It's that mental factor that brings us back to the object of concentration. So we're becoming mindful of what actually is going on in our mind. We're starting to become aware of it rather than running off in a million different directions and not even know what we're feeling or thinking. Okay, we develop some sort of mindfulness where we're very clear and very alert. At all times, we identify the disturbing thoughts. If we have time, we practice an antidote. Okay, if we're feeling angry towards someone, you know, we just sit and think, okay, may that person be happy. may that person not suffer. Okay? If we're feeling craving or attachment towards another person, we can practice, we can think, oh, that's just impermanent. You know, that phenomena that is, that person, that thing that is so attractive now, is constantly changing and is not going to be like this forever. Okay, so we can practice impermanence. But the ultimate way to avert or to remove these thoughts from our mind is to see their emptiness, their lack of real existence. If we see that the anger, the jealousy, the attachment are lacking any kind of essential permanent existence, it's almost like they disappear. Emptiness is the ultimate antidote to all negative mind states, which we classify primarily as anger or ill will, attachment or craving, and ignorance, which refers to not seeing things as they are. Just about all the negative emotions, the ones that upset our mind, that disturb our mind, can fall into one of those three categories: anger, attachment, ignorance. And there's specific antidotes that we can use to fight each of those, but the ultimate antidote to all of them is an understanding of emptiness, to see their lack of permanent existence. Okay? So, let's see. Do we have any comments or questions here? If you want to enter those in the chat. Actually, if you want to ask a question, I think you can unmute. Linda, is it okay if they just unmute themselves and just ask it directly? Yeah.
Sure.
Any questions or comments? Okay, I don't see anything. Okay, so let's just do a brief
meditation.
Oh, we have one.
I have one.
Okay.
A lot of it, the things you're saying, almost feels like I'm coming from Eastern living. And sometimes teachers are very mean and all, you know.
I'm very mean.
I feel like it's kind of, you know, telling people to accept abuse or make people making you feel low and all that. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's old tradition, and we are living in the modern, and we're changing. Mm-hmm. Women's rights and everything. I feel like maybe we can change those a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think you have to approach and see what works for you. You're talking primarily about verse number 2, right? The one we talked about last week?
Mm-hmm.
The lowest of the, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't think the point is that you're being taught to be a doormat here, okay? I think you have to have a fairly well-integrated personality to work with that teaching. And if you have problems with low self-esteem or have been or in a difficult, abusive relationship, just set that one aside, okay? Okay, don't make things worse, okay? Use your natural wisdom, okay? And nobody needs to swallow all the teachings at once. And if that one just doesn't set it right with you, set it aside. I have no problems telling you that. Yeah, because I think maybe the words do have different meanings now, and then we're dealing with the whole issue of translations. So I think that's a valid point. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Can I say something about that? I had a thought.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you were talking about that earlier, I just had this idea flash through my mind that, like, what if I went and hung out with the Dalai Lama or Geshe Gelug or somebody, and I really would feel like the lowest of the low, not in a bad, negative way. Mm-hmm. I would just feel, you know, in awe of this amazing person, and it would, like, if he coughed, I would jump up and grab him a Kleenex. And if he, right? Like, I would just just be so happy and in awe.
Mm-hmm.
And is that kind of what they're saying, is that can you take that respect that you have for somebody who's obviously easy to have that kind of respect for and apply it to everybody that you meet?
Yeah, I think that is the goal. Yeah, and you start with those people where it happens somewhat spontaneously, and then you start bringing that attitude towards everyone. Yeah, but it's a slow process. Okay, thank you. Okay, I wanted to do just a very brief meditation on verse number 3. I'm just going to do a couple minutes to sit quietly and check your posture. Couple deep breaths. Couple minutes of getting your mind on the breath to develop that calmer state of mind. I'm just going to read the verse one time. In all actions, I shall examine my mind. In the moment an unsubdued thought arises, endangering myself and others, I shall face and avert it. Now I'm just going to pose a couple of questions following up on that as we sit in meditation. So just think for a moment along these lines. How seriously do we take our disturbing emotions? How closely are we willing to look at them? How willing am I actually to look at my mind in different situations? When I'm alone, when I'm with others, when I'm happy, when I'm sad, to look at my mind and see exactly what's happening there. And how well do I understand that the disturbing emotions are the cause of all my problems? That ultimately, anger, attachment, and ignorance are my enemies, in that they cause all my problems. My problems are not out there. They come from my mind. And how willing am I to identify the necessary antidotes and apply them to these negative mind states? Thank you. And you can relax now. Just one a few things to think about. Says verse 3. And we'll move on to verse 4. Let me get my notes. Okay. This is an interesting one. Number 4. Whenever I see a being of wicked nature, oh, that sounds like Venerable Urbina, wicked, who is overwhelmed by heavy non-virtue and suffering, I shall hold him dear as if I had discovered a precious treasure difficult to find. Okay. So this is, again, this brings back this word. We're talking about cherishing others, okay, as opposed to self-cherishing, which is basically, a negative mind that's composed of different parts of anger, attachment, and ignorance. Self-cherishing kind of sums up all the causes of our problems. And now we're back again to cherishing others. Some of us may go through life and never encounter difficult people. I think we occasionally meet some people who have so purified their mind that they don't come across people who they see as problematic or difficult or angry. I'm not sure if His Holiness the Dalai Lama ever sees an enemy or an antagonist or someone who, as I say here, has a wicked nature. I can't imagine him relating to anybody that way. Even some of the Chinese officials who've caused so much suffering for his people. I don't think he sees them as enemies or as ultimately wicked in nature. I think he sees them as suffering. I think he sees them as overwhelmed by suffering and by creating the causes to suffer more. But I don't think he sees anybody as an enemy or even as a bad person. But most of us aren't there yet, okay? We encounter, let's drop wicked nature and say irritating, okay? Whenever I come in... or come into contact with someone who pushes my buttons, okay? Who is, so the first thing to do is realize that they are suffering, okay? That's always the first step, we're told, when we're trying to find a better way to have our mind interact with those people we label as difficult, because we're not Buddhas yet, so we are going to see some people as difficult, okay? Or as wicked or as irritating, the very first step is to see that they are suffering, okay? Just as I am suffering, just as every sentient being is suffering, this person also, their role in life is not just to cause me problems, but they are a suffering human being. And as His Holiness also says, they want to be happy, okay? But because of non-virtue, negative actions that they've done in the past, okay, they are suffering in the present, okay? And that's what we're seeing when they act in this way. So our first instinct is to push them away. I mean, sometimes if we rely on our own wisdom, we do have to literally remove ourselves from them. I think we all understand that there are certain people that with our mind, like it is right now, not being Buddhas, it's better just not to be around those people. Even if we realize they're suffering and wish them well, we know that we do not have the wisdom and compassion at this point to do what needs to be done. And we find their negativity almost contagious. So if that's the case, there are other teachings of the Buddha, not in these verses where they say, just remove yourself from those people like that, okay? If it's not that extreme a situation, we cherish that person, okay? We wish them well. We wish may they be happy. May they be suffering. We treat them as if they were a precious treasure that's difficult to find, okay? Why? This gets back to the first verse. For starters, we learn how to develop patience, equanimity, kindness, generosity, by dealing with people who we label as difficult. Okay? The people who we hold close and love, it's easy to practice those, but that's a very limited phenomena. You know, the generosity we have towards one person or two people. What we're aiming to develop is unlimited love and compassion. And we need to have these people who are pushing our buttons so we can develop those qualities for everyone. Okay? So this, again, is similar to what we say in the first verse. Okay? We're holding all sentient beings dear, but we're holding especially dear those people who we think are difficult, who cause us problems, who get in our way, who irritate us, okay? Those people who we think of as our enemies. Those are the dearest ones of all because we can learn the most about our mind from interacting with them, okay? So rather than pushing them away, if it's possible, we see them as precious, as something to cherish, okay? So you mentioned how when we're around His Holiness the Dalai Lama or Geshe Gelug, you know, we automatically want to do something for them. We need to bring that attitude even or especially to those people who are difficult. Okay, we got a couple comments. I'm going to read those. Karen says, it sounds like number four, this verse is saying we should seek evil people out who harm us and spend as much time as we could hang out with them. I'm pretty sure that's not what's intended, though. I mean, if they are wonderfully precious, we should want to be around them a lot, right? Okay, yeah, so you answered it. I mean, if we're ready for it, yes, seek them out, okay? But that involves having some natural wisdom, okay? Not being stupid. For most of us, we're probably not at that point where we want to seek them out, okay? But at least we can begin with maybe someone at work who really irritates us, not pushing them away. And just tomorrow, you know, first time we see them, rather than say, oh, God, here they are again, just think, even if it's, you have to grit your teeth and do it, think, may you be happy. Okay, just something simple like that. And it may seem artificial, but because the mind is so plastic and flexible, that can become the way we actually think. And that can be the spontaneous thought that arises when we see that person in the future. Just give it a try, okay? Let's see, Gary, seems that the first skill or virtue to gain is to stop feeling angry. Stay calm and stay away until we have better understanding on how to live among them. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if it just brings up constant anger, that's not benefiting anyone. If we can't do anything but get angry, that's not benefiting us. And then Helen, so instead of pushing them away, see them as precious, a helpful tool towards our goal of enlightenment. Yes. And then Lana says, these people help to teach compassion. Yeah. Okay. Compassion is not limited. The Buddhist definition of compassion is not limited towards those people who are nice to me. It means compassion for everyone. Okay, and we have to develop compassion for everyone if we wish to become enlightened. Okay, so let's just sit quietly for a minute, think about this one, and don't accept my interpretations or what I'm saying about it. During the week, think about the verse and think about what it means for you. Some of them may not seem very relevant. Some may seem very relevant. So, okay. Whenever I see a being of wicked nature who is overwhelmed by heavy non-virtue and suffering, I shall hold him dear, as if I had discovered a precious treasure difficult to find. So I think really the second clause is the place to start. We can see these people as overwhelmed by non-virtue, negative karma, and they are suffering because of it. And that's not a condescending kind of pity, but a really deep understanding of where other people are and where we are ourselves. Negative karma and suffering. We're all in that boat. Okay. So that's two verses tonight. So your homework for this coming week is to read the Mahayana Thought Transformation by Lama Zopa in the teachings. That's pages 15 through 20, to meditate 6 days this week, 3 times on verse number 3, 3 times on verse number 4. And really, at the start of your meditation session, it might be good just to read through all 8 verses, do that very quickly, then go back and meditate on verse 3 or verse 4 about what it means, how it would be practiced in your daily life. And then we'll come together next week, and we'll do 2 more verses next week. Just a couple announcements about things at Kadampa Center. Geshe Gelug's Wednesday night teachings, he has changed to the mornings, at least temporarily, so that's on the web page. Here's another comment. It's like living in our present politics and wishing well to them. Yes. Now, if you can't do that, that may be too hard, but that would be certainly be the goal, yes. So Geshe Gelug's Wednesday teachings are in the morning now at 9 o'clock or 9:30. I'm not sure. It's on the calendar on the webpage.
9:30 to 11, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, okay. And then Thursday night, there's going to be a very interesting event where we're going to have a live session with the former Sarah Brooks, a longtime member of Kadampa Center who's been in New Zealand and Australia and various places, and who has taken robes as a nun. So she is a very new nun, and she's going to be talking about that experience and answering questions. So that should be fascinating. Kadampa Center is churning out lots of nuns. We don't seem to be getting any monks yet. He's ignoring me. But, she'll be talking about that. That's online Thursday evening. That should be really fascinating. So if you have time to watch that, I'd encourage that. And then we'll get together next Monday night. Everyone stay safe, stay healthy, stay dry. And we'll get together next Monday night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye, thank everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thanks, Robbie.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm glad my internet held up.
Thank you.
I started to panic when it went out at me at 6:30. Yeah. Thanks.
Good. We got lucky.
Yes. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Take care. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.